It's Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener on K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peters True Value, American Heritage Bank, Bartlesville, Pahuska, Barnstall, and the Osage Region, Enterprise Sod Store, ABS Performance, Patriot GMC Hyundai, and Overlees Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. Well, good morning, Larry. Nice to have you in the studio this morning. And I wouldn't call it spring-like temperatures, but temperatures at least in the 60s today and tomorrow. So it'd be pretty good for much of the week.
A little reprise from weather we've been having.
Yes.
Talk about penguins gone wild.
Jeez. I don't think they can walk this far north. The penguins are only seen around the South Pole. But
I know. Penguins are just funny little animals.
They are funny little animals. I enjoy seeing them at the zoo or wherever they might be.
Yeah. But, golly, not a lot has gone on this week. We've had a little thawing out weather, but not completely.
No.
Yesterday, our dirt pile was still frozen, and we had to kind of do a little mining to get some good soil out to finish up a project.
You were telling me you had several hollies you were out planting yesterday.
Yeah, we did plant some plants yesterday, and they looked a lot better in the ground than they did at the nursery.
That's where they're supposed to be.
The leaves were just smiling. Oh, thank you.
We've got roots going down into real dirt.
Really? Well, real dirt, I don't know. They have better dirt on Mars in some parts of this town. But they'll do okay.
Not when you were finished with them, I doubt.
No. It took picks and shovels and sledgehammers to dig these holes. But yeah. You make them really big, they'll adapt okay. Change or they'll adapt to the new soil and go in there and start to break it up. You know how it goes. So
yeah.
They'll do all right.
Well, I this is my analogy, not yours, but I know it kind of works a whole lot better if you make a $10 hole for a $5 plant than you do if you just dig a hole in the ground and put the $5 plant there.
I think we dug a $1,000 hole for a $10 plant in this case. Oh golly, but we got them in, and there's more to do this next week. We're really booked up good. So.
Well, that's a good thing that the crew is out there getting the Bartlesville area looking nicer.
Exactly. Well, we're getting closer and closer to the time of the year when things start to happen.
Yeah, about a month away from the Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah, the big old chainsaw will be rolling again. Be a big old cloud of blue smoke hanging over Bartlesville.
At least down by your house anyway.
Well, maybe not. Down by Kevin's house, no, for sure. But really, anyway, I guess we can start with our lawns.
Let's start with the lawn, because right now it's mostly dormant.
It's still too early to dethatch your Bermuda grass.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend might make you feel, let's get out and crank up the mower.
Yeah.
Heat up that sludge in the bottom of the oil pan.
Turn up the Primo grill and have some work, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's an idea. Steaks for dinner.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we don't fertilize Bermuda grass until May.
Okay, so keep the fertilizer in the garage.
You're
where it
wasting your money. You're feeding your weeds. However, with this warmer weather, you're going to see some of the winter weeds mm-hmm. coming up mm-hmm. and growing. So, hopefully, you kept the Roundup in the garage or somewhere where it won't freeze, and yeah. if you can go ahead and use that Roundup in your Bermuda grass to control the spring weeds that will be very shortly coming up.
Yes.
So you might round that up. No pun intended, and get ready to perhaps do some weed control on your pesky lawn weeds.
Okay, and speaking of those upcoming spring weeds, I know you're going to say we probably should have already put it down, but is it too late to put down any pre-emergent for some of those spring weeds?
Absolutely.
That's what I thought.
They're up.
Yeah.
They're up in October, so you need to do that in September.
Yeah.
So we do have another way to get rid of them, that's the Roundup, or the broadleaf weed killers when they come up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wait till, say, the 1st of May or something, well,
yeah,
too late. Why bother, because the heat's going to get them anyway. So you want to take some action pretty soon on those. A lot of people in town have some really nasty weeds, and you're probably not doing much of anything this time of year anyway, so it'd be a good chance to control that a little bit if you do see some come up.
Mix up the spray bottle of Roundup and get it out there.
Right. And it's getting time to... fescue. It's getting time to fertilize that fescue lawn.
Okay.
So you might locate and secure some fertilizer for that event,
mm-hmm.
and you might do it in front of a rainstorm.
Okay.
Which is something which you've been very slack on lately.
Yes, I have.
It is getting kind of dry out there.
There is a possibility, about a 20% chance for some precip on Wednesday night, but it will be more particulate than liquid. So.
Oh, freeze-dried rain.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You just add water.
So anyway, but yeah, because it's going to be so nice and warm today, you might want to look at your shrubs, mm-hmm. dig up the soil around it. I know I have some dry areas in my yard.
Okay.
And water your shrubs. While you got the hose out washing the car,
mm-hmm.
which I'll be doing that, I'll be washing our fleet today.
Yes.
You might want to go ahead and give those plants a little bit of extra water.
Okay.
Especially up close to the house under the eaves.
Yes.
A lot of people have these big eaves on the house, which I think architecturally is a good idea.
It looks nice.
Looks nice, and also it keeps your windows and things from rotting away from the rain. But anyway, it also does not make things good for plants because there's a big dry area right there next to the house. And it's not good for your foundation because there's a big dry area right there next to the house.
Gee.
When it doesn't rain. So make sure your moisture levels are up.
Okay.
Around the house, not only for the structure of the house, but also for your plants. So check it out. Just take a little shovel and dig a little hole and walk around and... I think you're going to find that you're going to need to water your plants up close to the house.
They probably could appreciate the water, and so will foundation around the house.
Exactly. So, anyway, check that out. But anyway, it will rain someday.
Yes. Some day on down the road.
Yeah. With that in mind, you might want to think about replanting your landscape, and we can do that. And also, when... rethinking your landscape plan,
mm-hmm.
you might think in terms of water saving.
Okay.
What plant species you can use that are tolerant to dry conditions.
Okay.
And what kind of a design you can have using drought tolerant plants. So there's, oh, here you go, getting out the almanac to see what's happening with the weather. But anyway.
Yes.
Xerographic plantings is the term. You need to prepare the soil very deeply and quite properly when you do that. And there are some plants, the xerographic plants, such as rosemaries and lavenders,
mm-hmm.
and the galardias and other things, they do not like a lot of moisture.
Right.
So because of that, you might want to introduce some elevation or some slope or some hilling, berming, if you will.
Berming, yeah.
In your landscape. So it does have a chance to dry out a little bit between our wet, rainy seasons we get now and then.
You wascally guy, you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But anyway, you want to make sure to go ahead and follow through 100% on the xerographic plan and not just put some drought-tolerant plants in the ground expecting to perform. Because
mm-hmm.
it isn't always dry here.
No. But although we tend to be more dry than wet most of the time, particularly over the last couple of years, we've, you know, been
well,
behind
yeah,
on
there's
moisture.
There's a lot of high pressure over central Mexico.
Yeah.
Whereas it should be over Bermuda and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not bringing Gulf moisture up. We're getting most of our rains are coming from the Pacific.
Right. But looking, and again, for whatever weather authority you take the almanac to be, good, bad, or otherwise.
Well, it's the law of averages.
It is. But it says for the winter 2014-15, cold and dry. And for the summer of 2015, it says hot and dry. So.
Hmm. Are they taking into account the apogee that we're in right now, or
I cannot answer.
Okay.
Yeah. I just thought it was interesting that they're using the, you know,
well,
dry
this summer
word
we'll
here for the whole year.
Yeah, I think is it a perigee when you're far away and apogee when you're close? Or I have that backwards.
No, peri as in around or close to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're in a perigee right now. I remember reading that.
Yes.
And we'll be in an apogee in summer.
90
degrees as to where we are, and it's an oval orbit, and we'll be further away.
Mm-hmm.
So that thing's wrong.
I said for whatever authority you take it for, good, bad, or
it's
otherwise.
It's going to be a cool, wet winter, or summer, rather. So anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, when doing xerographic planting, just take into account the whole thing. You just can't.
Mm-hmm.
Do one and expect it to perform when we have wet periods, because you get a lot of rot on your drought tolerant plants.
Okay.
When we have an extended wet period, so some elevation change, soil preparation change, maybe some coarse sand to the soil. And I use the word coarse
mm-hmm.
to help it percolate a little better, so they do okay.
Okay.
So anyway, that's one answer to landscaping in dry conditions, is to pick plants that tolerate the dryness real well and mm-hmm. will just thrive in it.
Sure. Why not? Mm-hmm. That way you, if at the end there, if we get a lot of moisture, then you know, we have other plants that will, you know, respond to that high moisture level, but these guys will look beautiful most of the time.
Okay. On the other side of the coin, okay, I've got all my landscaping done.
Yeah.
How do I introduce water into my landscape? Well, the irrigation systems work very well.
They do.
And there are several types of irrigation systems, drip systems.
Mm-hmm.
And the spray, you know, the regular old Rainbird spray systems.
Right.
Hand watering is one way to do it.
Stand there with the hose for a long period of time.
Snore.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's automatic and, you know, manual systems, mm-hmm. too. I do like the automatic spray systems because they get the water down to the ground fairly quickly. And
yeah.
And it does a pretty good job. But there's one little kind of bad thing about automatic is people tend to run it like their alarm clock.
Yep, every day.
And the plants don't need water all that time. In fact, they actually suffer from having too much water a lot of times on automatic sprinkler systems.
Which is why when you install one, you put in things like rain sensors and other things that
rain
will.
Rain sensors, yeah. And I need to talk to my reps about some moisture sensors, too, and see how they're coming along with the technology and see if you got something that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't require a PhD to program or doesn't rust under the soil real quickly and wear itself out.
If,
so.
if you can't find a PhD, find a 7-year-old kid. Yeah.
Well, yeah. That'll work, too. But anyway, so keep in mind irrigation. And we do offer a very good sprinkler system. It's a proper irrigation system. It's not necessarily a Cadillac system.
Mm-hmm.
We put some in that are really good like that.
Sure.
But you're just follow the manufacturer's specifications on how these sprinkler heads should be spaced,
mm-hmm.
and follow some guidelines on how many pounds per square inch are available, and keep your feet per second down to 5 on your pipes and all that. You should have a pretty good operating system.
Okay.
And you also, you might have, right now, you might have 85 pounds of pressure on your meter.
Mm-hmm.
But in July and August, when everybody else is watering, you might go down to 45 pounds. And if you engineer your system to operate under higher pressure conditions, when the going gets rough, you're going to be kind of limp.
Yeah. Dribbling out there when you expect it to be a nice full pressure spray.
So even though you might have 65, 70, 80 pounds of pressure on it, we designed the system to run on 45 pounds.
Okay.
Gives you some overlap, some overkill, and that keeps your velocity down on the pipes,
mm-hmm.
and gives you a little better performance that way too.
Okay. 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Taking your calls this morning on Green Country Gardener.
ABS Performance is a complete automotive repair and service shop. Owned and operated by David and Anita Miller, they understand the needs of their customers and treat them as individuals. With that understanding, they pride themselves on providing their customers with honest advice and quality repairs on every vehicle they service. They repair only what's necessary and never pressure you into getting additional work done. ABS has the most up-to-date diagnostic equipment so they can find and fix the problems. Maintenance to your vehicle is necessary to retain its value, safety, and dependability. They take your family's safety seriously, as if it were their own. ABS Performance looks forward to seeing you, both as a customer and a friend. For vehicle repairs and service, see ABS Performance at 3917 Price Road in Bartlesville. Phone 918-333-4420.
OK Federal Credit Union is open to anyone that lives, works, or worships in Washington, Osage, or Nowata counties. Being a Bartlesville-based credit union since 1955, they know their members. OK Federal Credit Union has checking accounts with no monthly fee and actually pays you a dividend as long as your balance stays over $400. With competitive rates for cars, boats, RVs, and more, OK Federal Credit Union will make your dreams a reality. Stop by and join OK Federal Credit Union today at 3900 Southeast Adams Road or visit their website at okfcu.org. OK Federal Credit Union. They want to be your credit union.
Adding indoor plants, tropical plants, and cactus to your home makes a difference. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road has tropical and indoor plants and a variety of cactus to choose from. For outdoors, save 30% off 5-gallon trees. Green Thumb has a large selection of sale items, too. Their winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday only. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road in Bartlesville.
It's the start of 2015, which means Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville is recognizing a special birthday. New Holland was founded in 1895, and they're celebrating 120 years of farming innovations by offering 0% financing or cash back on select New Holland tractors and equipment. Jensen Tractor Ranch has the full list of eligible equipment, and that includes virtually every new model, tractor, hay, forage, harvesting, material handling, and light construction equipment from New Holland. Hurry, these offers end March 31st, so visit Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville today. Jensen Tractor Ranch has been selected for the 2014 Best of Bartlesville Awards for Farm Equipment and Supplies. For commercial use only, 0% financing offer subject to credit qualification and CNH Industrial Capital approval. CNH Capital Standard Terms and Conditions apply. Down payment may be required. Certain other restrictions apply. Offer ends March 31st, 2015. See your participating New Holland dealer for details.
If there's a tractor in your future, Jensen's got it. Jensen Tractor Ranch, saving prices guaranteed. Bartlesville's New Holland team.
Well, it's a little early for that chainsaw, but not too early. It's going to be getting out there in about a month.
Well, it's what, 28 degrees?
28
I think that's
degrees,
the only chainsaw in town that's running right now.
I'll bet you're right.
Anyway... along with having good soil and everything else in the moisture and having soil that's healthy for plants.
Yeah.
One thing that's very important that really requires no effort at all, that's having earthworms in your soil.
Yeah, they come around naturally most of the time.
Yeah, earthworms are Lumbricus terrestris. It's their genus and species. So if you see one, you say, hey, Lumbricus. And your brother, terrestris, how y'all doing? So anyway.
And you grab them and put them on a hook.
Yeah, you do, actually. The fish really like them. Yeah. Why do they like them? Because they're 70% protein. Earthworms are.
Huh.
Yes, they are. And when a robin pulls up an earthworm, if it breaks it in half, the part that goes in there will grow a new head.
It'll grow a new head.
Yeah. The other half, well, I don't know. It'll probably wind up on your windshield. But
oh.
But anyway, earthworms are a very important part of our soil, and Charles Darwin said it, there's no other creature that has played so important a part in the history of the world as the earthworm. Really.
I'm going to get my chainsaw out today.
You are, huh? Uh-huh. I'll be listening for it. I've got to do some trim work on the house. Some of the old trim is wearing out, so I'm replacing it. So I'll be high up looking down on your property and... watch the clouds of blue smoke.
Watch that chainsaw. Today's the day.
No, you're early. You've got another 3 weeks to go.
That's all right. I'm fixing to let her rip.
Okay. Well, if you can get it started, that'll be great. You might bring it in the house for a while. Let it warm up.
The chainsaw?
Yeah.
Oh, it'll start.
Okay. A little starting fluid and some coercion.
It'll fire right up.
Okay. So. I haven't started mine in, it's been 3 years.
Really?
Yeah. I wonder if it'll go.
But you know people are going to get antsy today.
They are. They're going to get antsy. They're going to be out there with their lawnmowers, scalping the yard.
They're going to be ready to go.
But it's way too early for that.
Well, we're about to get on the downside. Have we had a zinger?
We haven't had any weather yet that's really out of the ordinary. So, no, we've not had a zinger.
Okay, that's good.
So, I think we're going to get a good recurrence on our crepe myrtles and all the other plants that might be a little bit questionable about whether or not they're going to come up. We're going to get good comeback on those this year. Good color on them. Get your bone meal out.
Bone meal.
Put them on your crepe myrtles.
Right now?
Right now. It takes a while for that to work, you know, because it works with the natural processes, biological processes in the soil to make the potassium available. So it's time to get that down.
Okay. All right, Larry. I'll get that done today.
Yeah, don't fertilize your grass yet either now. It's not time for that.
Nope.
Let's knock down those knockouts.
Okay.
Cut back those Carissa hollies, too.
Wait, you just take those hedge trim and just chop them off.
You could, yes.
Could do that with the hedge trimmers, I guess, if you want to. They're your plants. You can treat them almost any way you want to.
Yeah, with Kevin's diesel-powered hedge trimmers.
Wow.
Okay. Anyway, earthworms. Earthworms are active animals that feed and by bringing organic debris into their burrows from the surface and by eating their way through the soil. What an existence. You know, they don't have any eyes, but they have cells that sense
that
light.
Sense light, yeah. They're just kind of photosensitive cells.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can cut the head off, but it'll regrow again. Do they really have a brain, or is it just over the whole thing? It's difficult to say.
My wife's the biology teacher, but as I recall from many moons ago when I was in school, I don't think they call it a brain. I think they just called it advanced central nervous system or something, but I don't think there's a true brain there.
It's probably as powerful as the first computer I ever bought.
Oh, okay. Well, Z100 processor and probably 1K of memory.
Now. Exactly. That's about it. No, it had 25 meg or four. No.
Four? You
128 kilobytes of memory.
Really?
Yeah.
And a
4 meg hard drive.
I was working for a Radio Shack when they came out with the TRS-80, and that one came out. It was a Z80 processor, and it came stock with 4K of memory, but you could upgrade it to 16K as if you'd ever need that much.
Yeah, about the intelligence of an earthworm.
Yeah.
There are approximately 50,000 earthworms in an acre of good, moist soil.
Uh-huh.
That means Bartlesville probably has about 20. So anyway.
Yeah.
But there are some parts of town where there are a lot of them, actually, when you dig around, about in Woodland Park in some areas, mm-hmm. where there's historically been some trees, and the organic material is still on the surface. There's still a lot there.
Okay.
So you could introduce earthworms into your soil by turning up your soil real good, adding some organic material, and perhaps going to the bait shop.
Sure.
And then put them in there, and then they should grow up pretty well. So they're just good for the soil.
Are there any conditions that are more conducive than others for good earthworm populations that will help keep your soils healthy?
Yeah, fairly moist.
Okay.
Don't let it sit in water when it rains, because they tend to want to come to the surface because they can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Then they crawl across the driveway and
go to the neighbor's yard.
Dry up.
Oh. Okay.
For some odd reason, the birds don't find them very tasty when they do that. But anyway.
No?
But anyway, a fairly well-drained area and good loose soil.
Okay.
And just like any good soil preparation, if you prepare your soil really well, you're going to have some good stuff going on it, not only initially, but in the long run, because you'll have not only the earthworms, but you'll have all kinds of mycorrhizal.
So earthworms are more an indicator that you already have good soil, as opposed to that you're on your way to getting good soil after the earthworms do their thing.
That's true.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, if you got them, you got good soil. So you shouldn't have any problems with your landscape, but still you want to check out the quality of the soil, make sure it is good enough for your plants. Because,
mm-hmm.
really, most of the plants we plant here are exotics.
Yeah.
Nandinas are exotics. But they've come to where they're sort of a...
I thought they were just xenographic or something, or out there somewhere.
Well, that too. But in other words, they're not naturally occurring, so they're considered exotics.
Okay.
So the soil has to be kind of altered in order to satisfy their needs, as well as camellias and azaleas and hollies and whatnot that are really, if you just planted them out in the middle of nowhere, they just simply wouldn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make some changes in the conditions for them to grow. So anyway, and earthworms do a lot for that too. Okay, every year the earthworm castings cover each acre with as much as 18 tons of rich soil.
Wow.
You know what I do with some sprinkler repairs? I open up the little hatch where the valves are in,
mm-hmm.
and it's full of this really nice soil.
Wow. Earthworms have brought you a gift, huh?
Yeah, they surface in a lot of sprinkler system valve boxes. They'll surface in them an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, golly, you dig it up. Whoa, this is good stuff. And I show it to the customer, a dirty hand full of earthworm. And they go, yeah, no, this is good stuff. Throw it on the ground, you know, and do the repair. But so it is good stuff. And actually, you can get earthworm castings. We have that in the form of Happy Frog has earthworm castings in it.
Right.
Bat guano and other good stuff.
Good stuff.
The plants really, really like. They really like it because it contributes to the natural processes that make a good soil. It's sort of like eating yogurt for your digestive tract.
Okay.
So on. It's good for us. And that kind of stuff's good for the soil. So anyway, that's kind of, in very brief, that's kind of the deal on earthworms.
Well, we'll take a break and take your calls. Oh, I'm sorry.
Earthworms are pretty cool.
They are cool.
All right.
918-336-1400.
American Heritage Bank is ready when you are. Whether you need us once a week or once a year, American Heritage Bank stands ready to serve all of your financial needs. From the basic checking account for your graduate going off to college, to investing in your business by allowing us to help you with your commercial real estate loan, or advising you on a comprehensive retirement plan through our in-house investment center, we are fully equipped to go the distance for you. It's simply better banking. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Don't forget to like us on Facebook.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod expert, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Or 1-800-749-5936. The numbers to get you on the air for this edition of Green Country Gardener on AM 1400 and 93.3 FM. Answering your questions on your garden line this morning, 918-336-1400. Larry, what else is something we need to know about this time of year other than just to keep the gardener comfortable temperature-wise?
Well, there has been a little bit of cold weather,
yeah.
So you might want to look at the tips of your hollies and... I do the scratch test on the crepe myrtles
okay.
to determine how healthy they are and how they've reacted to the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't anticipate very much, if any, dieback on the crepe myrtles this year.
Good.
So we don't have to cut them back so far to get them to go around the dead part, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost time, really, to go ahead and cut those back. And I sort of like to wait till April to cut them back.
Okay.
But a lot of people cut them back most any time. They seem to be very resistant to a lot of diseases, anthracnose, and all kinds of fungal yuck that other plants get if you cut them back too early.
I love the technical terms you used. That's great. Fungal yuck.
Fungal yuck. Your photinias, though, that's a different story. You want to cut them back a little bit later, just when they're starting to grow. They are a member of the Prunus family, and they are susceptible to fungal yuck in the stem. That's anthracnose and other things like that that can get inside the stem and cause some dieback on them.
Mm-hmm.
Back when we had that really cold spell when it was 30 below zero, it cut them down all the way to the snow line.
Yeah.
And I said, telling people over and over, cut them back to where below the snow line was, cut them back. Well, a lot of people didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they would come up high, or they started to come up a little bit, then they quit.
Yeah.
What that did is exposed all that area to this fungus problem. And we had a lot of dieback on them, a lot of death to the whole plant. And mm-hmm. It would have come back if they were cut back really low.
Okay.
So wait a little while on that. See what the winter damage is. If you cut it back right now, then chances are we will have another cold spell.
Yeah.
And it'll cut it back again or kill it back again. Then you'll have to go back and cut it again. So
because it was middle of February when we had that minus 27 below. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. Could happen. It's going to get cold towards the end of the week.
Yeah.
I think what?
Well.
Or 30.
Yeah, and I just printed out the forecast as far as Wednesday. So still back down with over. Well, we're going to keep our overnight lows generally in the 30 range. Mm-hmm. So,
but we have a good weekend, and people are going to be out and getting all juiced up and whatnot.
I'm sure.
I'm going to do some trimming on my stuff.
Well, you got to.
Yeah, because looking at some damage and so on, going to take care of that. So I had a cherry laurel with a big old branch that broke on it.
Mm.
Got to trim that back. And
yeah.
They're getting a bit too large, so I'm going to cut them back to probably about 8 feet tall.
On those, is that something that you just judge the health of the plant, or is that something like Nandina's, where just about once every 3 to 4 years you cut them way back?
Well, you judge the health of the plant, and you look and see if it's really grown beyond its ability to hold itself up. And with some plants, that's a little bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You have to correct it down then. The cherry laurels are a problem with that. They're weak-wooded. And they break up pretty easily in thorns, but they grow so quickly that mm-hmm. if you do have some damage, it's back in business in just a matter of months in the spring.
Okay.
So I cut them back rather significantly about every once in a while, and it's due right now. So
okay.
So that's going to happen. I'll have a big mound of them in front of the house, I guess. I don't know. I'll get rid of it somehow. Chop it up and put it in the bags with the red tape on them.
There you go. City will take it away for you.
You bet. But anyway, it's time to do a lot of heavy cutting. Almost time to do a lot of heady cutting. Heavy cutting on your plants. And it's time to plan about it, too. And it's also on your dethatch, it's time just to get the mower ready.
Just recondition the engine, make sure the blade's good and sharp, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
Recondition the engine.
Well, you know, at least put a little fresh oil in it and get a new spark plug.
Yeah,
you know.
Change the oil, change the spark plug. Take the spark plug out, put some oil in it, and pull the rope a few times. Because mm-hmm. you might get just a little bit of scaling on the inside because the temperature change, the water in there increases and decreases. And not everybody puts their piston at top dead center in the wintertime. They leave the cylinder all the way open, and mm-hmm. it can cause some problems. So, yeah, just put a little oil in it and run it without a spark plug in it a couple times.
Okay.
You won't have to go buy a new one then.
Exactly. Well, stimulate the local economy with the purchase of a spark plug for it or for you know, having the blade
or
resharpened.
Take it in and have it done. These guys.
This is a great time for that. Yeah.
They're good in town to do that. There's a. Can I say Courtney's Small Engines?
I think you just did. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, they do a very good job of keeping your mower up to shape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sharpen the blade and all that other kind of stuff. So bring it in.
And this is the time of year they would welcome the business as opposed to, oh, say, 6 to 8 weeks from now when everybody and their sister is getting their engine in.
Exactly. Most every mower engine is naturally aspirated. You know, mm-hmm. they use carburetors.
Mm-hmm.
And a weak point of those is they store a little bit of gas in a bowl down below. And that tends to turn into varnish,
mm-hmm.
especially with the gasoline we're getting now. It just doesn't age very well. So if you didn't run your engine till it quits and then open the little drain thing at the bottom of the tank, you have a little bit of gunk in there that's mm-hmm. going to cause operating some issues.
Right.
So you might want to have them look at that too. Just check it out.
Okay.
It doesn't right now. It probably doesn't cost as much as it would in May.
I don't want to forecast. I know it costs a whole lot less than it did last May, so.
I guess. So anyway, have it checked out.
Okay. 918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936 if you have a question for Larry this morning. And probably a good time just to evaluate how your vegetable garden did last summer and see what mm-hmm. you might want to plant in for this year.
A lot of people had very good luck with their tomatoes because it wasn't so awful hot mm-hmm. for the most part of the summer. And the rain seemed to be kind of spread out a little bit pretty good last spring.
Yeah.
So, like I said earlier, even though we're not out of the drought yet, the symptoms of the drought aren't as bad as they have been in the past. So, we've had some good quality rains. But anyway, yeah, check it out. And if your plants didn't do well, if your tomatoes didn't bear very well, if they just simply wouldn't set on fruit, mm-hmm. perhaps you have a fertility imbalance in the soil. So, probably the best thing you can do right now, if you want to have successful tomatoes, is to have a soil sample taken.
Okay.
And have it analyzed at the extension center, and they can tell you exactly what to do to your soil, how much more nitrogen to put down, or how much more nitrogen you don't need to put down,
as your case may be.
But they can make recommendations as to what to do to your soil in order to have successful tomatoes. Now they don't really introduce anything structural to the soil as far as what materials are in it and how light it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of have to do the drop test for that.
And that's relatively easy and takes almost no materials at all.
Well, it just takes a concrete driveway.
Yeah.
And a lump of soil. You like to get it, make sure it's fairly moist. Mm-hmm. Probably wouldn't work right now. It'd be a good reading. But
yeah.
You might want to water it and wait a couple hours and then dig it up and then drop it and see how it hits the pavement. And if it shatters, you're probably in pretty good shape.
Yep. If it bounces or... Yeah.
If it just goes clunk.
Yeah.
It just sits there and just like Play-Doh, just kind of plop. Or bread dough or...
Sure.
Ooh, pizza dough.
Oh,
that sounds good. But anyway, if it just sits there like pizza dough, then it is not really probably the best soil in the world for your tomatoes. And so you want to prepare the soil accordingly. And and then you can kind of feel it. And I've done this just from years of doing landscape work and being in people's gardens, just feeling the soil between your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And feel the texture of it, and sometimes the soil feels like axle grease if you've ever packed bearings in a car before.
Yep, I can see how that would be that.
And it's real, slippery and just kind of gummy.
Uh-huh.
And that's just not good soil.
Right.
So it should have a bit of coarseness to it, and it should shatter a little bit between your fingers, and you should see some organic stuff in there with it. And that means you have a pretty good soil.
Sounds great. 918-336-1400, your calls for consumer calls coming up in just a moment.
If you're replacing your old windows, make sure you replace your old window problems. Go with the most trusted name in windows, Anderson Windows and Doors. Time proven, durable, low maintenance, and energy efficient. And with their beautiful wood interiors, you're not just replacing, you're upgrading. Anderson 400 Series Replacement Products, because there's no replacement for confidence. See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Adding indoor plants, tropical plants, and cactus to your home makes a difference. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road has tropical and indoor plants and a variety of cactus to choose from. For outdoors, save 30% off 5-gallon trees. Green Thumb has a large selection of sale items, too. Their winter hours are 10 to 4, Friday and Saturday only. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And Larry Glass, running through some of the items that we can have the garden ready when we're set for warmer weather, taking care of your houseplants, or planning for a great garden next year.
Right. Now, this time of year, I guess today you could do some spring cleanup.
Okay.
So some of the stuff you forgot to trim off, like my peonies, I forgot to haven't trimmed them off yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
Yeah, my pin oak is still dropping leaves, so I'm
yeah. And my water oak finally dropped most of its leaves.
Yeah.
Water oaks are kind of semi-evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in fact the tree of the week.
Well,
but anyway,
that?
The water oak is fairly large, sturdy, and it's kind of fast growing too.
Okay.
It's actually in the backyard. My water oak is bigger than the maple. That's been in the front yard for 20-some years. It's only been in there 8 years.
Hmm. That is quick growing then.
They're pretty fast, and they have a fairly strong branching structure. And they don't always do that on their own.
No.
So it takes a little bit of a chainsaw to go ahead and make them grow like they should. So, but anyway, water oaks, in some parts of the country, they're kind of scorned. Because mm-hmm. in far south, where my daughter lives in South Carolina, they're just everywhere. Them and hollyoaks, they're just all over the place.
Right.
And they're not seen as maybe, if you will, valuable as they are here.
So maybe in that part of the country would not be on the gardener's list of top 10 trees, huh?
Probably not, because they're so common.
Yeah.
They're everywhere, like planting pine trees. Who would want to plant pine tree? Everybody's got pine trees in their life. But over here, it's a little bit different. We like loblolly pines and stuff in our landscape because they're not very common.
Mm-hmm.
And the water oaks, I like to put them in the beds. Or for shade in some areas, and the leaves are so small they sort of blend in with mm-hmm. with the mulch.
Right.
So I just get out the leaf blower and blow them off the thing, and just let them pile up in the bed, and everything does pretty well. So a water oak is a pretty good. It small leaves, small acorns. It has deep roots on it. There's no surface roots anywhere
mm-hmm.
from this tree, and like I said, the acorns are real small, like a half inch or so.
Yeah.
So they won't hit the roof as hard as, say, a overcup oak.
Right. It's huge.
Or macrocarpa, you know, big old thing. So they're a little more friendly to have around the house. So you might consider a water oak in here. We planted some around town, and they've done really absolutely stellar. And they've held up in these sudden winds we have now and then, the big micro bursts
mm-hmm.
now and then that come through and damages stuff. We had one last year.
We did.
And it causes some damage, but none of the water oaks are really damaged. So anyway, it's a good one to have. The only problem with them is they tend to get scale insects.
Mm-hmm.
Scale insect is about twice the size of a head of a pin.
Real small.
And it sticks itself to the branch, and it exudes a sugary sap that'll actually mold.
Mm-hmm.
And it attracts ants. And ants really like this honeydew, it's called.
Sure.
And incorporated into that honeydew are eggs. And the ants spread them around from one branch to the other, or even from one tree to another.
Mm-hmm.
So scale, it can get overwhelm the tree and cause some problems, some health problems with it. So keep an eye on it. I haven't had any of mine, really. I guess it's all the Nandinas they've got around there.
That just don't very like well it. Could be. But they're afraid of Nandinas.
But I really haven't had any scale problems with it. But some people, if the plants are under stress, they will have some problems. So the water oak is not necessarily one that really requires water, for instance. It's just a name. Its genus is Quercus, and its species is Nigra. Quercus nigra,
okay.
Which really has not much to do with water.
No.
But they just called it water oak.
Okay.
So, but it doesn't like a whole lot of drought. So you might want to water it accordingly. But it will tolerate some dry conditions, but it just doesn't like a whole lot of drought. That's kind of why I like to incorporate it into the beds, because people a lot of times water their shrubs and their plants okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives a good filtered, not extraordinarily heavy, but a good filtered shade. So
okay.
You can grow something. I grow lilies right underneath it.
Well, then, yeah, that's a decent amount of length.
Just, golly, just 6 feet away from the trunk. You got these lilies that do just fine underneath the water oak. So,
okay.
It's a good, kind of a good tree to have it around. And I like the robins, kind of like the branching structure, too.
Speaking of trees, is this a good time of year to have the arborists look at the health of your tree, or is that better in, say, the spring when things are starting to branch out?
It's good right now to look at it. You can see any damage that might be there much more clearly than if it were obscured by a lot of leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So get myself out, or even call Russ over at P&M. Hey, Russ. And he'll tell you what's going on with your tree. I was at a house a couple of days ago, and he had questions about his tree.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, who could I get to come out? And I said, well, call Russ, and he'll look at it and give you some ideas, too.
Yeah.
But some trimming thoughts and all that and whatnot. So there are a lot of people in town. There's other tree services, too,
mm-hmm.
that they're knowledgeable. And that's how they get where they are, by having the knowledge of these trees and the health of them and all that. They're not there just to cut them down and get rid of them. They have to have some knowledge
sure.
about them, too.
Well, even I would guess, and I haven't asked anybody, you know, even if you're just down there to take it out of the yard, get rid of it for whatever reason, you still have to know the tree and how it's going to support the weight of the people that are out there cutting on it.
Right, and the awareness of the tree.
Yeah.
Of what's wrong with it or something. And, you know, planting the right tree in the right place has a lot to do with it also. Keep it, and we've talked to this, told you this 100 times, mm-hmm. keep it X number of feet, 15 feet away from the pavement.
Right.
And from the house, keep it a fair distance away from the house, and it really won't become a pest.
Okay.
Especially on maple trees, they're shallow rooted.
They are.
Oh, they will really tear up your pavement. But fortunately, in my house, I have some great big old red maples, and they're far away enough from the sidewalk that it hasn't caused a problem.
Okay. 918-336-1400, your phone calls for Green Country Gardeners, still coming up.
OK Federal Credit Union is open to anyone that lives, works, or worships in Washington, Osage, or Nowata counties. Being a Bartlesville-based credit union since 1955, they know their members. OK Federal Credit Union has checking accounts with no monthly fee and actually pays you a dividend as long as your balance stays over $400. With competitive rates for cars, boats, RVs, and more, OK Federal Credit Union will make your dreams a reality. Stop by and join OK Federal Credit Union today at 3900 Southeast Adams Road or visit their website at okfcu.org. OK Federal Credit Union. They want to be your credit union.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has 3 kinds of sod, Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227CQ Bartlesville.
And 918-336-1400, the numbers to get you on the air for Green Country Gardener. We still have about 5 minutes on the program to go. Talk with Larry Glass this morning.
Yeah, we talked earlier about weeds in the yard.
Yes.
And people ask me, what's the best thing I can do to keep these blasted weeds out of my yard? Well, the number one thing is I have a healthy grass.
Okay.
You make things suitable to grow grass.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Proper amount of water.
The healthy lawn, grass, whatever variety you might have out there is going to make it more difficult for the weed to flourish.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
You keep the grass fairly dense. You fertilize it often as your irrigation system will allow, or as it rains, give mm-hmm. some fertilizer, and don't cut back on your fertilizer on your Bermuda grass, especially in the summer. It does need kind of a monthly application, not a heavy one, but a light application of fertilizer to keep it healthy and thick.
Mm-hmm.
You, you drive around town and you see these lawn service trucks all over the place.
Yeah.
Putting fertilizer down in the middle of the summer. Well, mm-hmm. they're doing it right. They're putting it down in the summertime when the Bermuda grass really needs it. And a lot of times those yards are the ones that don't have a lot of weeds,
mm-hmm.
but they have the real healthy, thick turf on it. So, I don't know, just observe what's going on.
It's you can usually tell, you know, from even one lawn to the neighboring lawn who has fertilized and who hasn't by the time you get around to July and August.
Yeah, I give mine some fertilizer once in a while like that. I also give it some iron sulfate.
Mm-hmm.
It helps keep the green color real dark. So it's kind of noticeably darker than most people's yards. But anyway, it makes it pretty, I think.
Yeah.
And I do have a little bit of problem with weeds now and then, but I typically use some Roundup on it, or I actually give in and use some now and then, but I just don't like to use that stuff too much. I think cultural practices are more effective than
mm-hmm.
trying to cure it rather than, you know, get rid of the cause. But anyway.
What you did mention, let's say within the next month to 6 weeks, that if you've got some weeds that are popping up in your lawn, since most of the lawns around the area are Bermuda grass, mm-hmm. and it's still dormant till into the spring, you can use a Roundup on it.
And look at it. Look at your lawn real closely today, and look just kind of down in between the blades of grass. You'll probably see some henbits and chickweeds and stuff coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So they really won't come up until, say, the first to middle of February. Another 2-3 weeks, you start to see some growth coming on those pesky little waskily lawn weeds, and then you can put some stuff on there before the Roundup on there before the grass emerges.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. So proper weed controls, number two, healthy turf grass, number one. That's how you keep your grass pretty and healthy.
Well, we do have a call. Let's see if we can take this one. Good morning. You're on Green Country Gardener. How can we help you out this morning?
Yes. I was in my backyard, and the moles appear to be active because they've got raised areas all over the place.
Right.
And I did grubworm control last fall. And I think you said we do it again in February. Is that right?
That's right, in the spring. Uh-huh.
Is it in February, that early?
Well, February, March. Typically, end of February or the St. Patrick's Day is a good time to, when they really start to become active, you might want to go ahead and apply a spring application for moles. Grubworms, rather.
Yeah.
But moles also like earthworms.
Yes, and doesn't that stuff kill earthworms too?
Generally not, really. Especially the imidacloprid earthworms are a little different animal than, they're not an insect. And some of the treatments for grubworms are targeted specifically towards insects. In other words, the creature has a susceptibility to it, whereas earthworms mm-hmm. really won't have a susceptibility to some of the insecticides out there.
Oh, okay.
So pick one that's got, say, imidacloprid in it. And, the very fine print that you need your 2X glasses to look at. Yeah, down there in the bottom.
I do.
It'll have that. Yeah, no, I got them on right now, in fact. But anyway, that would be what you want to look at, are the ingredients in there.
Is there a chemical name? Or, I mean, like 4D4 or whatever it is. No,
herbicide, yeah. But it comes in several names, really.
Imidacloprid is the generic name as opposed to some of the brand names that are out there.
How do you spell that?
It's your chemical, Larry.
IMADICLOPRID, imidacloprid, something like that.
Okay. All right, I get it. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much for the call this morning. And just real quick, because we're down to less than a minute here, when will some of the spring plants start coming into the garden, into the nursery?
Oh, golly, another 30 days.
That's what I was going to guess.
Rolling in, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll keep planning for the garden. And
the camellias are starting to pop open now.
Oh, okay.
In the shade house, so yeah. But anyway, there's things are starting to wake up a little bit over there. So come by and get a little bit of spring in our greenhouse. The waterfall's really nice.
And, of course, always just to be ready to take a look around and see what's going to be blooming in your yard.
You bet.
And
get out the grinding wheel and sharpen that shovel. We'll see you next week.
Thanks a bunch. That's Green Country Gardener, and we've got news on the way next from CBS.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage